Thank you. All lines are now bridged.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining us. This is the first meeting here of the HITECH Annual Report Work Group. We will go ahead and officially call the meeting to order and get started with a brief roll call. Carolyn Peterson?
I'm here, thanks.
Erin Meary?
Good afternoon.
Christina Caraballo?
I'm here.
Brett Oliver?
I'm here as well.
And Chesley Richards? Has Chesley joined us yet? I don't think so. Okay, with that, I will turn it over to our co-chairs, Carolyn and Erin, for opening remarks.
Hey, thank
Carolyn, if you want to lead.
Yep. Sure. Thanks so much for bringing us together for this meeting of the Annual Report Work Group. I want to wish everyone a Happy New Year, and I'm really excited to be diving back into this after several weeks off for the holidays.
Hello?
Yep.
Oh,
go ahead, Erin.
Okay. Sorry, I was on mute. Okay. Hello to everybody as well, and welcome back. I am as well as Carolyn, very excited to have everybody back here to talk through this. There's a lot we have on our plate to do to get this wrapped up and to the full committee, and we're excited to hear more from the committee and get some feedbacks. Do we want to go ahead and go to the next slide, or is there anything else you want to say?
We should probably review the agenda.
Yeah.
I know. It's like we've been away for a few weeks. We need to...
I know. I'm just getting caught up to speed here. Okay, let's go to the agenda here. I'll start this whole process off. All right. So from a perspective of what we're going to do today, we want to talk about the proposed structure of a report, and, of course, the draft report that's gone now to all of you guys, and then sort of, you know, what do we want to talk about the next HITECH, whenever that gets scheduled, and then, of course, further comments there. There's a number of items within the report itself that I'm really excited to talk through. I think there's also probably topics in there that we may want to discuss and think, you know, is this something for a future report or something we want to solicit feedback on? But I also want to upfront applaud and commend the ONC team for a phenomenal job of fact gathering. And they made this process, I can't even imagine how much more difficult it would have been without their assistance. So major kudos to them and that entire team. Just really, really well done. And so here we are. All right, next slide. Okay, so we are now at the January 24th, today's review, and I know things are a little bit nebulous right now as we get through some other things going on much bigger than just this committee, but, you know, we're at the point of having a very solid draft that does need our small blessing and then, of course, the HITECH feedback into it. So that's where we're at. It's a tremendous amount of body of work that's been done over the past several months, and so excited to talk through it. Next slide. All right, and then, again, some of this is a little bit nebulous right now, but hopefully it'll be wrapped up in the very near future where we have the HITECH blessing, and then, of course, the, you know, any feedback from that taken into consideration, and then a final report issued thereafter. The great news, again, is that ONC has been really great partners of helping to keep us, you know, churning along, and as we navigate any of the other hurdles that are going on right now, again, much larger than us. Next slide. All right. Now we're going to kind of review the proposed structure of what we're thinking about for the report. Next slide. All right. So, again, sort of our structure overall, all the way from the executive summary back down to the conclusion and dependencies. Really the important stuff to think about and talk through in this report. I'm going to kind of gloss at a little high level some of the progress we made with HITECH in FY18. Since we all know it, we'll go through it quickly, but then really spend a lot of time talking about the landscape, any gaps, and then some of our recommendations, and then suggestions for additional HITECH activities. Really that, you know, section 4 through 7 is really where some of the meat of the debate will be, and really for us to think through topical things and other items to make sure that we are really hitting upon what the full HITECH was asking for us last time we met. Next slide. Okay, so there was a suggestion around the structure here to where we originally had it as executive summary and so forth and so on all the way down. We really needed sort of an introduction, which we, you know, was the overview, and go forward, you know, and make sure that the you know, we need to decide what structure we want to go with. But to the degree of it, you know, from this, and Christina, you maybe want to speak to the recommendation. It was a way to clarify a little bit easier and for folks to follow along. Is that correct?
Yeah, when I went in, my purpose in putting, kind of restructuring it, was just trying to create a story, because I had trouble when I first went in. We had a lot of the content, but I wasn't following it. So it was just an attempt to kind of reorganize it a little bit in a way that read a little easier. But I don't think it matters. I mean, whether it's the executive summary or the intro first, I think it was more the content under those areas and just kind of creating a flow.
That makes sense. When I saw your feedback, you know, it made a lot of sense to me. And Caroline, love your take on this as well. To just understand, you know, truly what we're trying to get across to folks, and not lose them in the wash. What do you think?
When I read the report, the structure didn't jump out at me as being concerning. But I am a veteran of reading GAO reports, and the initial structure, it follows that format very much. So it may just be that I've become used to it, and, you know, I don't think that either of them is a bad approach. I think it just comes down to what we find most useful.
Good point. And Brett, I'm curious your take on this as well. If you're reading this kind of with a fresh pair of eyes, does it matter to you?
I would probably lean a little towards more like Christina, because I'm not a veteran, so I suppose it's who the target audience is for it. I think when I was reviewing it, I would take it pieces at a time, and so I appreciate Christina sort of getting a larger overview of how it reads as a report. And if we want it, you know, the point is just to get the information to Congress, that's fine. If it's to educate and bring out, you know, others that maybe are not as seasoned in looking at these things, it may make sense. And I'm not sure the structure piece of things, but I hear what you're saying, Christina, as far as how it reads and the data underneath. Because I think, you know, it's a lot to kind of swallow at one time. And if we can make it more readable, that's probably a better deal.
I totally agree. Okay. All right. So then we're I think we're all in agreement, at least on the majority side, to maybe fare this out a little bit more as like a story, and really this sort of this breakdown of the new structure. So it's easier to follow along. I'm good with that. I do think that, Brett, your point, I don't want to lose sight of that. It's a very good point that this isn't just for Congress. It really is to educate folks. Again, the HITACH, you know, was put there to really drive those key objectives of the 21st century cures, and to also bring to light any other topical things that the industry needs to consider and work through, and kind of be that liaise back and forth to assist, you know, HHS and others. So to the degree of it, it's a great point you make that this isn't just for one audience, it's for the world to see, and it has to read that way so that the average person can think through it. So good point on that. Next slide. Okay, and so the work group also, you know, suggested, this is Christina, this is really you, further prioritization of recommendations, again, you know, to really look at, you know, streamlining this down to a recommendation on interoperability, obviously our privacy security section, and the patient access. And this is, you know, how many recommendations we had on those various sections. And the questions here are really, you know, should we rank these? And you know, as we go through the meat of this, these questions will make more sense. Number two, should any of them be prioritized? And then, you know, how the work group should go about, if we are, you know, the task of ranking and prioritizing. And then would that affect the report structure in any way? And again, for the folks listening in on this that are not part of the work group, as we get into the meat of the report, this will make a lot of sense. But there are recommendations in there as you go through and look at, you know, and you start thinking in your head, does this have more meat on the bone for the industry than something else? So how do we want to tackle that? Let's talk about philosophically as a team. We know that there's a lot of, you know, question and scrutiny around, I'll make this up, Internet of Things, which is a topic we talk about in the report. Is that more or less important than something else? I mean, that could be arbitrary. What do you guys think?
So in writing, go ahead, Brett.
Oh, that's fine. Go ahead.
So I think I had originally made this comment, and I just wanted to say that it was brought to my attention, which I agree with, that it shouldn't be this work group decision on the actual ranking, but it could be something that we pose to the larger group and just see if anything kind of stands out as something that we should kind of say, these are our top three recommendations to Congress that the high tech should work at, should look at. And I don't know if we should or not, but it's just something to consider. When I think of that, I think of like things like while we have identified a couple things as very high priority, maybe ONC is doing work on them. So what are the gaps that high tech can really be the most impactful? And can we paint that picture very clear on things that we think we can achieve in the next year? And again, I don't think that necessarily needs to happen in this draft, but could be a question that we pose to the larger group.
That's a fair point. Brett?
Yeah, I was going to say something similar. I don't know that it's our responsibility. In fact, I think it's not our responsibility to rank order things. However, it may make the discussion at the full high tech a little easier or grease the skids a bit to go ahead and do some prioritization, just not necessarily that goes in the report, but that we might suggest, with the caveat that you guys mentioned at the beginning, that we're four perspectives, and there were 25 or whatever the actual high tech number is for a reason. And, you know, we're just, but to set some framework up so that maybe the discussion will go a little bit better or get involved, you know, a little more quickly when we're back together again.
Okay. Good points. Carolyn?
Yeah. Speaking in my capacity as co-chair of the high tech, I know that this discussion of what the committee as a whole undertakes in 2019 and potentially in the future beyond that is something that's high on the radar for ONC and for my co-chair, Robert Waugh, and I. We had planned some time for that at the next meeting we'll be having, and I think we expect it to be quite a robust discussion, and we'll be looking to really dig into people's perspectives about it very much in the same way that we had a discussion about interoperability in September, because it really is a critical situation for high tech in terms of determining its future and where ONC goes to some degree now that we've addressed a lot of the congressional mandates that were in the Cures Act. So I don't see it as being a 10-minute or 20-minute drive-by discussion when it comes to the full committee. I think it'll be quite robust. So I'm comfortable, actually really prefer not prioritizing things, but letting the committee make those decisions about where it wants to go.
That's a fair point, Caroline, and I would echo with you, although I do think there may be a way for us to, maybe we can tie into kind of what you said at the onset. Maybe we don't rank them in terms of priority, what we think of priority, but rank them in terms of things that could have direct patient impact or things that would be more behind the scenes, you know, industry impact. There may be a way to categorize and rank, not based on our viewpoint of preference, but rather on, I don't know, patient affecting, direct patient care affecting, I don't know, something to that effect, you know. And let's just keep that, again, I'm just brainstorming here, but I think we keep the ranking idea in the back of our mind as we go through all the recommendations later on this call, and just think about, is there a way for us to propose to the high tech anything in some sort of methodology? You know what I mean?
Yep.
Is that fair?
I think
all right.
So.
Okay, let's go to the next slide. All right, so we're going to review the draft annual report by section. All right, next slide. All right, so again, this is sort of the summary. I'm going to go a little bit through this a little faster, but so it was the high-tech progress of FY18, our infrastructure landscape, and then gaps and opportunities. You know, there were some changes that we suggested here to make sure that we add patients, and by the patients at the end of the sentences, cybersecurity frameworks, we're combining two of the recommended high-tech activities into one, and then patient access to information. You know, really sort of just sort of this making sure that we are trying to capture the full breadth of data usage and patient understanding. Again, this goes back to something that Carolyn said. a little bit earlier, which is that we are touching upon the patient realm a lot more, which is a good thing. We want to make sure folks are clear on that. All right, next slide. All right, then we're going to talk about legislative requirements, high-tech priority target areas, and then FY 18 ONC objectives and benchmarks. Next slide. All right, so progress-wise, HITAC has been meeting this past year. The policy framework, obviously there's been a trusted exchange framework task force, the U.S. Core Data for Interoperability, USCDI, Interoperability Standards Priorities Task Force, and of course this annual report work group. So lots of work being done and have been done over the past 12 months or so. Next slide. All right, so with the priority target areas and the landscape analysis under interoperability, there was a suggested change there to add information about the current state of patient experience of health information exchange. Again, going back to focusing on the patient and understanding that, you know, end of the day, all of the stuff we're doing in healthcare IT is about patient care. On the priority target areas of privacy security, there were a couple of things here we really had some good discussion on. One was really focusing on remote monitoring of data and other telehealth data. And then, really understanding here and talking more about the patient-generated health data collected during remote monitoring telehealth activities. There's a number of things here, and Carolyn, if you want to jump in on this one, because I remember you and I talked extensively about this, but we didn't want to leave out all this discussion that's going on right now in the community about how we deal with PGHD. And where that lies. I mean, right now, I even saw an article this morning that Oregon's considering a state ban on the sale of de-identified data, right? So how do we start addressing this and looking at this in aggregate and saying, is there a role to play for the HITAC committee? And then under the information sharing for research purposes, really, again, adding information about state's regulation of collection of genetic information by genetic companies like 23andMe and others, and then what's the federal role? Any questions, comments about this that folks want to break on? Is this appropriate? Are these appropriate changes? Do you guys feel like we're really pushing the envelope? What do you think?
This is Carolyn. I think with regard to the second one, information sharing for research purposes, that's certainly an up-and-coming topic. Yesterday, the Genetic Alliance announced a partnership with a firm that will get them into the area of genetic data management and sharing, and being that it's a more patient-driven thing than a lot of other operations out there, that will add further shading to the questions. Just thinking about that Oregon proposed law in terms of the sales of de-identified data, thinking from the informatics perspective, which is that some data can't be de-identified, it adds additional layers to an already complicated topic that perhaps ONC and the HITAC should be taking a look at going forward.
Good point. Brett, anybody else? Christina, what do you guys think?
I agree with the change in adding remote patient data and other telehealth data. We might include the phrase medical devices when we're talking about security particularly. That's an area that, I mean, Aaron, I'm probably not telling you anything or the whole group, but whether it be IV pumps, you know, there's just a lack of knowledge even amongst those in healthcare, you know, when they replace equipment, things like that, the security elements with the data that's, I know we're talking about patient care data, but it's also just the security of those devices that I think we're kind of a gap there in our report.
Good point. Great points. Christina?
Yeah, so looking at that first one on the patient-generated health data, I think the question in here was, do we add the remote monitoring data and telehealth data to that title? And mm-hmm. I think it can stand alone. I know Michelle had a comment in here that we had only mentioned the remote monitoring and telehealth data in passing, and I'm wondering if what needs to be discussed is if that's a separate section. Because for the patient-generated health data, I think that some of the remote monitoring and telehealth can be gathered, or there's an element of patient-generated health data under the remote monitoring and telehealth. So maybe those are separate from patient-generated health data, because I think I'm not sure, but just thinking this through, I think there's a larger question than just adding this to the title or putting it within the section.
So you're talking about maybe a subsection, because I'm assuming you're thinking with patient-generated health data, that's something they're bringing forward, whereas RMD and other telehealth, that's patient data that's they're generating, but it's maybe coming from an engagement with a healthcare provider or...
Right.
Okay.
Like remote monitoring data and telehealth, you can use patient-generated health data, but I think it's larger than that.
Because I think it's like remote monitoring is that's patient-generated data, but I guess I'm ordering that perhaps, or home health nurses doing that versus an Apple Watch. Is that?
Yeah, Brett, I think you're hitting right on the nail on the head. So when we were thinking about it, is this gray space between something that is, you know, I'm going to use this very loosely, FDA-approved device that generated data that's on a patient versus, hey, I have this consumer-grade device that's not FDA approved, but yet has my, I'm making this up, vitals on it, right? At what point is that distinction that once something's clinically viable and you as a provider knows best as a physician, you know, what would you look at and make a determination upon, right? So to the degree of it, I can appreciate Christina's distinction there, but that was what we're trying to hit on is that you have this confluence of multiple domains, you know, intersecting all for the purposes of taking care of a patient, you know, outside of the four walls. So how do we begin to deconstruct this in a way that we can absorb and understand it?
And does it even need to be something that's, can it be an independent assessment of from a patient's perspective on their care? You know, we're always kind of, or I am at least, thinking about I get the patient data back or a nurse does or somebody in the healthcare industry versus just the privacy and security of a patient's data that's maybe going to a cloud that's just for their own personal use and health advantages.
Great point. That's a great point. I literally had this debate about an hour ago with our compliance team here about on the research side, you know, where patient-generated health data can live, you know, and what it falls under the auspices from an IRB study versus a non-IRB study. So this really has so many domains. Christina, I guess this is giving more credit to what you just said. It may be worth having this as a separate little subsection underneath this. Carolyn,
yeah,
what do you think?
No, I think looking at the draft and based on what Brett just said, keeping it as one is fine, but I think we need to write a little bit more under there. To the comment that Michelle had put in our kind of draft, the question was, do we need to add remote monitoring data and telehealth in general? Because we hadn't really put it in this. And I think that answer is yes, based on this conversation.
Okay.
Nope, I agree.
All right. Let's move forward then. Next slide. All right. So again, privacy security continuing here. We really wanted to reference the recent GAO study on patient matching, and really make sure that at least is timely and inclusive of some of those findings there. And then, of course, we had the target area of patient access information. Any questions on that GAO addition or why we're doing that or why we want to add that in there, or do you guys all agree with that?
I think it's valuable.
Christina, Brett?
I'm fine with it.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. All right, good. All right. Next slide. All right, let's talk about gap analysis now. So we have the interoperability, again, privacy, security, and then patient access to information. Next slide. So around interoperability, there's a suggested change to recommend the high-tech activity. Again, more about the patients around interoperability. For privacy and security, the suggested change was to recommend the high-tech activity for frameworks combine two of the recommended high-tech activities into one. And then for patient access to information, really recommend really to sort of get back to measurement and patient understanding and use of data. Again, this all goes back to patient, and make sure that the high tech understands and Congress understands that, you know, we know the end game here, which is that we want to make sure that patients are taken care of, you know, in a timely, quality way and with best outcomes. So a lot of those are really cleaning this up and really focusing on that. Let's go to the next slide. All right, so we'll go back one. I didn't realize it was that. So back one slide real quick. All right, so any questions about this? Because, I mean, this goes back, Carolyn, maybe you want to add a little bit more about this, especially for the folks listening in, about the patient dimension of a lot of this.
Right, well, the ONC has been promoting the patient access issue and certainly the way that that intersects with providers and other stakeholders. For example, through the information blocking issue that we're trying to resolve. It's also been an area of interest for the HITECH as a whole, across stakeholders. Privacy and security are certainly a significant part of what drives patients being willing to access data. It's not just having the pipes in place, but it's also an ecosystem in which individuals have a desire to access their information and use that in their healthcare, and that wouldn't occur to the desired degree when people are concerned about information going places it shouldn't or being hacked, having unforeseeable but undesirable consequences. We do call out cybersecurity frameworks and talk more about cybersecurity in the report, which I think is quite appropriate. And of course, interoperability is kind of a foundational principle for a lot of what consumers need to do.
Hmm. Yeah, good point. Christina Brett?
I think these changes.
Sorry, Aaron, I kind of lost your structure of the question.
Yeah, so what I was looking for was, do folks understand why we keep pushing on patients? That's why.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But again, I think what we started off the conversation with, saying we may be a little skewed from our full perspectives for the overall HITECH, but absolutely.
Right.
It's been underrepresented before.
Christina, you were saying something?
No, these look good. I was just looking at the areas where they were mentioned, and I think it looks good.
Okay. All right. Then we're going to move forward then. Next slide. All right. So then again, remaining sections on the draft report were the additional HITECH initiatives, conclusion, of course, appendices. Next slide. All right. So the next section here is really planning for an update at our upcoming HITECH meeting. Carolyn, do you want to lead this part forward?
Sure. It feels like it's a little bit amorphous at this point, since we don't know when the HITECH meeting will be, and we don't have a sense yet of what our time frame within that meeting will be to discuss the report. I'm sure it's more than 10 or 15 minutes, but because we missed the January meeting and there are quite a number of things that needed to happen then, it's hard to say if we're looking at 45 minutes or 90 minutes or what we'll have. I think what's valuable for us to do today is to go through the report and kind of highlight among ourselves any changes or additions that we think need to be made, and to try to get that in really good shape so that Aaron and I can have a very succinct, clear presentation that allows plenty of time for questions and comments by the HITECH members, whatever our overall time commitment is at that meeting. I know that sounds vague, but given this, how much has to happen, how much HITECH has to look at and review and comment on, losing that January meeting, that 8-hour block really hurt us. And so it's kind of hard to visualize how this work fits in with everything else that has to happen. But I think clearly we need to be succinct and to know what we want to emphasize and be ready to answer questions. Does that sync with what you're thinking, Aaron?
It does. I'm an eternal optimist, which, sometimes doesn't play well at being a technologist as well. But, my hope is that we can have this discussion with HITECH sooner rather than later, you know, of course, the worry always is what happens if things continue to draw out and we still delay. So there's that concern. But my hope is we can get in front of them sooner rather than later. I do wonder at what point do we need to start thinking about the next report and eventually have to say, okay, you know, this is what it is and start planning for the next one, because we're already almost to February and we don't want to just, you know, wait. So to the degree of it, you know, in the next couple of weeks, depending how things go, hopefully it all shakes out and we're good to go. But the conversation with high tech may be, okay, bless this report, and we're going to move on to the next one with all your okays, right? So we have to start that consideration process sooner rather than later.
Right, and that gets us back to what are we prioritizing for 2019, and who's on the work groups, what's the structure of that work, what kind of deadlines do we want to set for ourselves? I mean, it's all tied together, but it's all tied together in a way that makes it hard to predict.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Christina, Brett, what do you guys think? What are your concerns?
Well, the concerns is, you know, last time we presented, it was like crickets when you were trying to get a discussion going. So I was just in my head trying to think through, how can we present this? You know, do we literally just walk through the executive summary and then have some, you know, some literal action points right there from a prioritization standpoint from the group? What are your all's thoughts in terms of how we can engage the conversation? I mean, I know it's difficult when you've got, you know, a large group of people, but how can we either prep them beforehand, you know, to review the executive summary at least, or and then come with prioritization? Can we feed that before, you know, the next meeting?
My hope is that we can get the draft out to members at least a week before the actual meeting so that they really have time to read it. I think we also need to walk through in a, I don't want to say abbreviated format, but we need to keep it moving so that we're touching upon what's in the report without going into great depth about anything. And then to bring forward some very specific questions about the content and the focus. And I don't want to say push people exactly, but really encourage some very robust discussion and sharing of thoughts about that. Certainly when that report goes out, Robert and I can put a memo on it asking people to make a point of taking a look at it before the meeting and really think through questions, suggestions, concerns, additions, you know, anything else that they feel can make it better, so that we're really ready to have those discussions to the greatest degree possible in the meeting itself.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, Carolyn, in my mind, you know, it would help. You know, I always find it interesting and I find it helpful from as a you know, obviously a high tech member and a previous policy committee member and standards committee member, that whenever I got nudges from not just the chairs, but also from ONC as well, you know, the continued, hey, make sure you look at this, you know, this is important, but it can easily get lost in the wash of all the things that we do in our day jobs. You know, getting it out there sooner or later, I agree with you, at least a week ahead, and then constant reminders like, please read this, because to what Brett said, we really need their engagement. We really need to make sure folks are focused on this. And I know there's so much going on right now, but we really do want to make sure we are speaking with everybody's feeling that they've been heard.
Yeah, and we will have a lot of other stuff at this meeting going on for people to look at and think about. So I too am really hoping we can push this and get it out a week in advance minimum, so folks do have the time to do that.
And Christina, I really appreciate your sort of your logical approach to all this. What do you think? Do you think there's anything that we're missing here to, you know, help people absorb it, especially from a story perspective and get it? Do you think there's anything unique we can do to really hit home with these points and get folks to really think through this?
I think what everybody's saying sounds great. I like the idea of getting it out a week early and then maybe having specific things to look at or direct people towards. Like, we know what we did, for example, as a high tech, but we probably want people to look at the gaps and recommendations with like a little bit more of a microscope.
That's fair.
And then maybe say what we plan to discuss. These are the things we want to make sure. And I would say that this is kind of like our, isn't this our final draft? We're going to go to the, not this one right now, but we're going to take it to the HITAC and then hopefully vote on it to send off after that meeting. So this is no longer the we're keeping, it's not going through draft and draft and draft. So this is kind of the final one. I think I would reiterate that. And
yes.
I think you'll get people's attention if you say this is what we're going to be working on next year, because that'll get people's interest. So just reminders of why they should read the report.
Yeah,
that's a fair point.
Could I just point out that I think we had planned for a month between the HITAC first seeing it and then having a month to further think about it and then come back and approve it at their final meeting. That's what we've tended to do in the past.
If we're able to do that with whatever the meeting schedule winds up being, I think that's fine. Lauren perhaps can comment better on how much time there might be between the next two meetings if we're going to wind up cutting that schedule because of the shutdown or how that will work.
Yeah, this is Lauren. It's a little hard to say. I mean, in addition, of course, to the report, there'll be other matters before the full committee to take into consideration. But I think, this is actually kind of working to our advantage a little bit for us to kind of continue to push the report through to give ourselves and the rest of the committee as much time as possible before we have to shift our attention elsewhere.
I think we also would benefit from focusing today and perhaps if we need to again have a short meeting on what the discussion questions should be at that meeting with HITAC when we present the draft, so that people come in knowing what the discussion will be and being able to read the report draft with some thoughts, particularly in that area.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea, Caroline.
That's a great idea, almost like a cheat sheet, right? Like focus on these 10 things before you read everything else. That's a good point.
This is what we definitely want to talk about in addition to whatever else comes up. So here's the place to start in your thinking.
Yep. I like that. Okay. We can definitely do that. And how long, I just don't know what the process is going to be. How long will our section be to present? Like how much time do we have to talk through this?
What do you think, Lauren?
I think we're in a position to give ourselves as much time as possible now. I think probably at a minimum somewhere around 90 minutes.
Okay.
That's great. And are we thinking, and I know it's way too soon to tell, are we thinking this is all also over the phone?
For February timing, yes. March, we're still not quite sure yet.
Got it. Okay, so it would be interesting trying to do this to over the phone as well, because it further adds the weight to what Brett's saying, which is how to keep people engaged. Cause at least when I'm looking somebody in the eye, I can always fold a paper airplane and throw it at them, right, if they're not looking at us. But to the degree of it over the phone, how do we make sure folks are 100% all in? I think that cheat sheet will be even more important.
Yeah, definitely a structure around the discussion. Sure.
Yeah, and even if they had comments around whatever, the top 10, top 5, whatever we have prior to that, so it doesn't get lost, because sometimes when you're, particularly when you're virtual and you're in line to ask a question or make a comment, and we're really good about making sure, but by the time sometimes it rolls around to you, that topic has already been beat to the ground, or you're just like whatever, and you get out of line. And if we saw that there were five comments with the same sort of sentiments on a particular topic, we could even start the conversation that way.
And that any of that kind of feedback can help us perhaps with slides if we get it before the meeting, you know, in terms of refining our slides so they're clearer. Anything we can do in that direction, I think, will help us.
I have no Perfect. Doubt that Aaron will specifically call on people and make them talk.
I've learned over the many years of these committees, absolutely. It's fun. That's how we get engagement. But like I said, metaphorical paper airplane, right? Always. Okay. All right. So that's that one. What's that? Let's go to the next slide. All right. So we just talked through this, right? Is there anything else here? I think we've just talked about this whole thing. Caroline?
Aaron, I'll have a question for the group. Do you have thoughts right now about what top questions you want to pose? Since you've all read the draft and been thinking about it.
I'll start. I think from my perspective, what I would love the high tech to weigh in on is this, and I'll focus, I'll do privacy and security since that's my one of my secret loves, right? So to the degree of it, I would love to know the high tech's opinion and feedback on the areas around de-identified data, genetic data, and where the high tech should help to inform as we talk about harmonization of state laws and federal law and all those sorts of things. You know, we touch upon some very relevant and very pressing items that are going on in the industry, but is that the role of high tech, right? So, you know, our objective in pulling this report together, particularly when we're talking about privacy and security, was looking at everything in aggregate and going, okay, what's happening in the industry that is very relevant and very hard-pressing, but then there's certain topics that it's important for us to note it and educate, but it's not something that the committee should go, you know, go work on and go form a task force around. So from my perspective, I would love to know the take of high tech on that. Where do we stand on that?
I agree with that, and I think that also gets into the cybersecurity discussion in the sense of should we be trying to better delineate patient responsibility versus provider responsibility in ensuring that the cybersecurity and the protection that people want to do healthcare, you know, online and virtually is there so that they can. And that to some degree that ties back to the access question we talked about earlier in terms of people not being willing to access data that they can access if they have concerns about the security of it and what will happen, what the unintended consequences may be. Because I think you can make arguments either way about how much industry needs to be involved in cybersecurity and how much patients should be and what role there is for ONC in trying to help those things evolve.
Fred, Carolyn?
Well, one thing that I'd like to, it's sort of an overriding, it's not a philosophical question, but in each of these areas, there are particular examples of would the high tech recommend that there needs to be some kind of federal involvement because of the disparate, whether it's state or vendors or what have you, or areas that really that's not going to be the solution. And I know part of that is difficult because we've got information blocking rules, we've got the exchange framework, things like that that are hanging out there that we don't have sort of final decisions and rules made on that. But there is that overriding prioritization that if we're delivering this to Congress, which is one of the objectives, where are the areas that the high tech would say we believe we would recommend some kind of federal oversight or at least understanding of a direction? Does that make sense?
It does to me. It does because it's going to be a lot at one time, right? It's like an avalanche of things for us to work through.
Right, and if there are five things that we determine as a committee need federal oversight or at least needs to be looked at, you know, I want to call those out. And I know that's a little bit out of the structure that we have of interoperability and et cetera, but I think there are pieces that, for instance, why are substance abuse and behavioral health notes different than any other medical information? Why is that called out to be private? Because quite frankly, you know, as a provider of care, I need to understand those. So why is that different? I mean, I understand the philosophical argument why it's different, but why not my genetic results? Why not my lab results? Why not an X-ray? And so, you know, that's a rabbit hole that you can go down. And does that require some federal oversight? Because I know each state's got, you know, different laws and rules on that. That's just a hypothetical example. But, you know, as you go through each of the executive summary elements, there are areas where some federal oversight may be needed or at least be looked at. And that could be a recommendation that HITECH brings forward as part of that, one of the focus areas.
Good points. Great, great points. Christina?
I think this list sounds great. I wonder if we should pull out the recommendations and put them on kind of like a one-pager flash drive for people to have to discuss so that they're kind of easily accessible.
That's a great idea.
I like that.
And it would also make it a lot easier for the public who is listening in on the call to track where we're at and what we're talking about, which I think also is important.
Yeah, because the report itself, I mean, is quite lengthy, which is great because it has like some fantastic material, especially when you look at all the sources cited. But you're exactly right. You can get lost in the wash quickly.
So this is Michelle. I remember that we have that table in the executive summary that does do some of that. Does that work for this purpose, or do you need something different?
If I was planning it for a meeting, I would have a separate sheet or something, some very quick overview of all the questions in one place, the discussion points that we would be covering.
If we look at the recommendations, I mean, they're pretty, it's really two pages, maybe three.
Well,
that grid would be great. Sorry, Aaron.
So go ahead. So do we want to just use what we currently have, or do we want to also add that to it? Because we could pull that out and just keep it very simple, right?
I mean, I agree with what Carolyn just said, that the pulling out the recommendations separately is probably a good idea for context. It's not a lot, and it will be just a good reference point and hopefully engage conversation. Even if someone didn't read ahead, if they can kind of look at what we have, at least for that section. And this is just to kind of get people talking about the recommendations themselves. I don't think it works as well for the other area that we wanted to get people to talk about, which is the gaps, because that is a lot more content.
We could certainly have that cheat sheet, and on that cheat sheet, note the page where the related text is in the report. That might be very helpful for people during the conversation because, you know, they can literally look down at whatever recommendation we're on and immediately go to the page in the text for whatever bit of review they want to make as they make their comments and the discussion progresses.
That's a good idea. Maybe we should think about it a little bit, and then I think you said we were going to have one more call prior to the full committee meeting to discuss kind of engagement strategy.
I think we can do that if we feel like it would be valuable for us, absolutely. How would we approach dates and timing of that, Lauren or Michelle?
This is Michelle. I think we've discussed briefly the first week of February is best because the next week is HIMSS. And if you want to get the report out a week ahead of a potential late February meeting, if that does happen, we're sort of aiming for that would be the earliest that the report would go to the members. So fitting that in the first week of February might be best.
How does that sound to everyone else?
Yeah, that should work.
I think it's a great idea. So again, to be clear, we're talking about sending the report out first week of HIMSS, first week of February before HIMSS.
No, it'd be after that or during HIMSS.
If you send it out during HIMSS, yeah. If you send it out during HIMSS, folks are going to be very confused.
Well, until we have authority to set up a high-tech meeting, we actually don't know the date. We're sort of working from the earliest it would happen would be late February. So I'm working back from that right now. So we're ready to go. And then we may just need to sit and wait a little while. But I'm just trying to prep us for that possibility.
Okay.
Well, we can certainly meet in a couple of weeks and then be prepared for whenever.
Yeah. Again, the eternal optimist in me says everything is going to be resolved by today or tomorrow, right? So we're back to normal after that. I hope back to our regular scheduled programming. So I hope for that. I really do. So we can get back on the ball. Okay. Any other, I don't know what's the next slide here.
So Aaron, I had noted a couple things on our little chat screen that we might want to circle back to while we still have half an hour left.
Okay, go ahead.
So one was going back to the executive summary versus introduction and telling a story, just so I have some more ideas so our team can get to work. You know, what is it, the story that we want to tell? Like, we'll maybe revisit the outline a bit on that and get more specific. And then the other topic was if you want to talk about how you might rank impact of recommendations, which is a topic. The second topic is something we could also talk about at our next meeting. And the first one, I kind of need more information soon so that the team can work on this for you.
Oh, this how to tell a story? You mean Christina's comment?
Yeah, so what is the story that we're trying to tell that would then drive the outline? Because we were letting the data in the report drive the outline of the executive summary, but if that's not working for people, we could shift direction, but work top down and say, what's the story we want to tell, and then figure out an outline from there.
So I actually took a stab at it and spent some time restructuring it and moved it already. So maybe looking at that, and I wrote more than less for people to be able to react to, but maybe start there and see what you like and don't like. I think I got to some points where I just wrote comments. What was that?
Sorry, I didn't mean to talk over you. Could you add more information than what was in what you organized so that we have a more general sense of what you were telling the story about?
I'm trying to think of how to answer that question and just looking. I'm not sure. I think the order of things it's important, but if you want to start with the executive summary first over the overview, I don't think that's as important. It was just the flow, and I wrote comments in the sections and actually reorganized a lot. It's all in track changes. I could go in again and look and send a bulleted list, but I'd like feedback almost on what you guys liked and didn't like. Maybe you take a first stab at accepting or rejecting some of the stuff that I wrote and then send it out to all of us. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking, what would be the best to help you?
I'm kind of imagining, like, you want to say first to the readers, and then the next couple of things that are important, and what do you want to emphasize?
Would it be helpful if I went through and did what Christina suggested in terms of suggesting and with the things that are in the track changes and sending out to both of you that form so you can see what I've accepted and not accepted and see if that gets it closer to what Christina is envisioning? I know sometimes you kind of have a picture in your head of where you think you want to land, but it's hard to describe it in words.
I mean, I think that would be helpful. I think I'm trying to get to what you just mentioned is what is the picture? Because I wasn't quite getting that from the changes, because I know they're in development, so I'm not quite seeing yet, Christina, what you're wanting to do differently. So I do think it needs more iterations to get to that point if we want to do it hands-on like that.
Yeah, I'm happy to help with that. Carolyn, if you want to take a first pass and I can write more on what I'm thinking. I didn't want to go too far in if nobody else agreed with where I was headed.
I'll take a stab at it and shoot it over to you, Christina, and you can look at what I did and elaborate or undo things that I did that aren't right. And that hopefully will help us get down the road a ways to be more helpful for Michelle.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's good. I can work with that.
Okay. So then we have that answered. So do you want to go to your next question then, Michelle, which is how to rank?
Right, if and how you want to rank the impact, the idea that you brought up earlier today.
Oh, against if it's patient affecting or not, that was a debate we had about should we go to the high tech with our thoughts of priority, right?
Right.
I think we were unanimous against that. We just thought it would be something good to discuss, right?
That's right.
Not things to discuss.
Ranking the recommendations, but you had just mentioned they have an impact on stakeholders, and you might want to be able to talk about that in your presentation. So I think it's less about what would go in the report, but you did want to have a discussion about how you might present emphasizing certain recommendations over others to help prepare the attack.
Right. The thought was, should we as we talk through it, should we look at something? And I used patients as an example, right? If it's directly affecting patient care or not, it doesn't have to be that. I'm just as an example. But I do think we got to be careful about our biases influencing, so that somebody on the high tech doesn't feel like they don't want to speak up on a comment. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm not sold one way or the other. I don't want to wrongly influence folks if they feel differently than I do. So, Carolyn, what do you think?
I think it's been helpful for all of us to talk through the recommendations and have a better sense of all the issues that are related to these things. I'm not convinced it's helpful to high tech or it would be well received if we tried to get into ranking things in terms of what we think their priorities ought to be. The structure of the discussion about the future activities of high tech will be such that we are all in a position to advocate for our own opinions. It's not like we do this process and then we sit back and don't get to say another word through the rest of it. So I think anything that anyone, any particular personal concerns that anyone has, they're is a way to bring that forward, the same as any other high-tech member. I'm not cool. I guess I was really not very comfortable with the prioritization. That's not part of the task that we were asked to do as a group pulling together the annual report, and I think it's really something that has to come from the full committee.
Okay. No, I think I'm good with that. I think all of us agree with that. Brett, are you good?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, my only
thought
was it was going to start the conversation, but I totally understand what Carolyn's saying.
Yep. No, totally good. It's a good idea, but I can see Carolyn's point too. All right, so that answers that question, Michelle.
Yes, thank you.
And then,
all right, is that all the questions? Go ahead.
Just to be sure we're all on the same page, I will take the marked up draft that Christina sent around and go through the track changes, making some changes in notes, and send that to her for review and further consideration, you know, to see if I've got it to the place where she wanted it. And then we can pass on that work to Michelle, whose team will do some more and redistribute to the full working group committee. That's what we're all thinking?
Yes.
Yes.
And also, I'm tracking a like a master draft of some of these other changes that were discussed today, make sure it's all integrated into one.
Good.
So you two can focus on the front matter, and then I'll integrate that in the master and send it back out to everyone.
Good.
And you can copy the whole group if you want to through the process. It's up to you if you want to keep it between you two first or if you want to share each step with somebody. I do have one last question I thought of while you're just speaking about how to present to the HITECH. So how do you want to handle if they have new suggestions for topic areas within the three priority target areas that are not discussed in the report? And that's one reason I think we were leaving a month between the two discussions with the HITECH, so that if there were things we needed to go further with at the work group level, we had a chance to then come back to them with a revised draft. So I'm just wondering what the response would be in the meeting and then any procedures you have in mind now to handle suggestions like that.
If we can have the discussion about the annual report before lunch, then during the lunch break, this group could huddle and talk about Division of Labor for taking a look at those things and getting feedback back to your group quite quickly, Michelle, and also discuss if there's any of that actual work that we want to take on versus passing on to the contractors, depending on the time frame, you know, and who's got what time available. I think if we get a laundry list of 10 new areas, I think it's within our purview to say to the HITECH, okay, we get it, but we have this physical time situation. What are your priorities? Can you tell us what you think are the three or four most important new topic areas to focus on? And in that way, perhaps get them to table some things, but also putting some things forward for us to work on. I mean, I know where you're going and what your concern is. It's just really hard to visualize how this will shake out because we don't know what the time frame is. If it was, we knew we would have a month, I would be fine saying, write it all down. I'll just work with you guys crazy hours in that month between the meeting and the final approval. But, you know, if we wind up with more like 2 weeks, I mean, there's a physical limit there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certainly willing to put in whatever time is needed to pull things together and help to get the report more where HITECH wants it.
Agreed.
And another response could be, Aaron said it earlier in this meeting, that maybe that's a topic for the next report since we're already into the FY19 year.
Yep, and we may have to do that. We may just be stuck with that. But I think if we can be at least a bit responsive, that would be helpful. Terrible.
Good, thank you.
Okay. Any other questions from the team?
Nope.
Okay. What is the time?
2:40.
Where are we at in terms of being able to do the public comment, Lauren?
We're scheduled for about 8 minutes from now, but we can go ahead and proceed to public comment if there's nothing else at this time.
I'm good with that.
Okay. Awesome. Then, operator, can you please open the line for public comment?
If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your comment from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys.
Okay, so while we're giving folks just a couple minutes to dial in, just want to circle back. I don't see Chesley. I don't believe he joined us, correct? Okay, just want to be sure. Okay, operator, any commenters in the queue at this time?
There are no comments at this time.
Okay. Then I will hand it back to the co-chairs for any final comments before we adjourn.
Okay, I'll start and turn it over to Carolyn. I really appreciate you guys, and again, I want to echo again, as I said at the very beginning, ONC and the efforts there with that team. You've been outstanding, and I greatly appreciate you guys, and it's made our jobs a whole lot easier because of your efforts. So I just want that to be highlighted, how much work's been going on behind the scenes, especially by the ONC team. It's just been amazing. So hopefully we can meet soon with the HITECH and get this to goal and move this about and go forward. I think the other good thing about this report, you know, I kind of had hoped we would have had these discussions, you know, at the original timing so that we all go to HIMSS and have some fun discussions with folks, but it is what it is, and we'll make the best of it. But I would say that if we do end up going to HIMSS without having the HITECH prior to that or the report being out, you know, take the time to talk to folks there and solicit feedback and just sanity check some of the ideas and see if there's anything that we maybe glaringly missed, because the last thing we want is for something going on in the industry that just missed everybody, right? So use that opportunity wisely. Carolyn?
Thanks, Aaron. Those are great points. I do also want to reiterate the great work that ONC and its team has done in bringing the draft this far along. It's really helped us cover a lot more ground than I think we probably would have individually. I will follow up with you, Christina and Michelle, in terms of the editing review of the comments you submitted previously, and we will get something in the works for the fall work group to review as soon as possible. And also we'll continue to work with Michelle on the timing of any kinds of changes that might be necessary when we do take this to the full committee, however that works out, to ensure that we fulfill our mission and are appropriately responsive to the full HITECH and to ONC. With that, I will hand it over to Lauren.
Great. Thanks so much, Carolyn. And please be sure to check healthip.gov for the next scheduled annual report work group meeting once we decide when and if that will be scheduled. Otherwise, thank you for joining, and look forward to the next time.
Bye, everybody.
Go adjourn.
Thank you, everyone.